Good morning. Greetings in Jesus' name this morning. I'd like to greet you with several verses from Hebrews chapter 1. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. I greet you in his name this morning, in the name of Jesus Christ. God spoke to us through him. As it says in Hebrews 1, in times past, he spoke to us through the prophets. And we read in the Old Testament how God spoke to, first of all, Adam. God spoke to him. And the other patriarchs, Noah and Job, Abraham. And God spoke directly to them. And then we have the section of the Israelites and God's chosen people. And often they were spoken to through prophets, through men of God. If you were just a general Israelite, you communicated through God through a prophet or through a priest. When Jesus came, that relationship changed again. That veil was taken away, and now we again can have that relationship between us and God. For some opening thoughts this morning, I would like to read a text is taken from Matthew chapter 7. And as we think about how God related to man in the Old Testament, as we think about how God relates to man today or in the New Testament, there are some differences. The Old Testament, as they had some very specific direction, how they were supposed to do their sacrifices. Book of Leviticus is full of it. Read the Book of Leviticus. Many very detailed directions. In the New Testament, it's maybe not quite so detailed. There's it's a lot more general principles, but Jesus did give some very detailed instructions. And I think the detailed instructions that Jesus gave us as New Testament believers, we need to sit up and pay attention to what those specific instructions were. So Matthew 7 is part of, it's the last part of what we know as the Sermon on the Mount. And all this is Jesus was speaking, and he's describing a group of people what it will look like who is serving him as a king. As we read this, it talks about a mote and a beam, and most of us we've heard this passage many times, and to give you a mind picture of what this may be, think of the mite as being maybe a fleck of sawdust, and the beam as being a real timber or a log. So think of that as we read through this passage. I'll read Matthew 7, verses 1 to 12. Judge not, that ye be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure ye mete, it shall be measured to you again. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, Let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. Give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet, and turn again and rend you. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you, whom, if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him? Therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them, for this is the law and the prophets. So there's 2 points that I want to bring out from this passage this morning. I will start in reverse order. The first one is in verse 12. And that's an awesome verse, and it's basis for, say, the golden rule. And, you know, sometimes going through life, we think we're up against some pretty hard things. Like, how are we supposed to relate to this, or what's the best step we should take? And this is kind of a one process does it all. Doing unto others you would have them do unto you. And think of taking all your selfishness. Sometimes you think about, well, it'd be really nice if I could have this for myself. Think of that. Take that thing, and that's what you're supposed to do to other people. What you would want to have done to yourself, collect that all and give it to other people. And at least my list of things that I would like to have more of is sometimes it's pretty big. I wish someone would give me more respect, or maybe we should just be totally honest with me. Maybe I wish it'd be more love between the brothers. Maybe we think somebody should be more willing to teach me. More transparency. Maybe we wish that you'd pay your bills a little quicker. Or maybe you wish that they wouldn't charge me as much. Take all these things and hand them out to the people around you. Okay, then the second point I would like to share is found in verse 1. So it talks about, judge not, that ye be not judged. And sometimes we tend to have the idea that not judging is just being okay with whatever ideas we have. Maybe sometimes we're in a discussion and we don't quite, we're not agreed. And we're not supposed to judge. We don't want to have a lot of conflicts. Well, each man to his own opinion, and we kind of leave it there. So is that really not judging? Is that what it means here? So if my opinion is grounded on the Word of God, I don't have to judge. God's Word is the judge. And if we stand behind God's Word, we have nothing to back down on. We're not, that's not our idea. We're not judging. God's Word is powerful. And God's Word is sure. And if we stand behind that, if we're simply sharing what God's Word says, that's not coming from us. There's a short story. So there was one time a German artist. He became very popular, and so he needed an office space. He moved to London and set up his artist shop there. His father was a widower, and as he was getting older, he invited his father to come live with him in his apartment. And so his father started puttering around with some pottery, and he kind of took up the trade of pottery. And as his father was getting older, his hands started shaking, and as a potter, you need to be very steady to turn out a nice cup or a bowl, whatever you're making. And this father would get very discouraged about the way his pottery looked at the end of the day. He would look at his pottery and made that, and he just very discouraged. It wasn't very nice anymore. And after the father left the shop, the son would take those pots and those cups and he'd put them on the wheel again, and he would shape them up. He would make them nice and smooth. Next morning, the father would come back in the shop, and he'd look at those pots. He'd say, "You know what? They don't look too bad after all. I think I'll keep on being a potter." Am I willing to share with my brother, making his efforts look better? This son could have said, "You know what? This is a waste of my time to try to make these things look nicer. I'm just going to tell Dad that he can't do pottery anymore." So we need to have in us, we need to have the spirit of redemption. So as the son took those the fruits of his father and shaped them into something nice again, he gave his father purpose. John 3:17, "For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." So if Jesus came to the world, it says very clearly, he did not come to condemn the world. And we're following Jesus. How can we condemn anything? A quote, "A condemning person will stare at the fault." Okay? A condemning person will stare at the fault. A redemptive person will do all that he can to fix the fault. And I'm not saying to ignore sin. That's not what I'm saying. But someone's flaws they're not really sin in themselves, but it helps them to look better. Helps their cup to be smoother. Those are things that we can do to, in a way that we can work in a redemptive way in our brotherhoods. Another tendency that us as humans tend to have is self-righteousness. And that's something that we need to deal with. And we tend to think that, some people are all off that side, some people are off that side, but I'm pretty well in the middle. That's human tendency. And Jesus had a parable for that about the two men that went to the temple to pray. And we can see by that parable which one found favor with God. Sometimes it's kind of like this. When others are set in their ways, they are obstinate. When you're set in your ways, it's firmness. When your neighbor doesn't like your friend, he's prejudice. But when you don't like his friend, you're just a good judge of human nature. When he is mild-mannered, you call him weak. When you're mild-mannered, it's graciousness. When someone dresses especially well, that person is extravagant. But when you do it, it's good taste. When he says what he thinks, he's been spiteful. When you do, you're being frank. You know, and these terms could all be switched around, you know. Our human tendency tends to think that we have, you know, we're kind of where we need to be. And if we want to follow Jesus' commands, judge not that ye be not judged. It's not being melancholy with truths that are very plain in Scripture, but it's not being self-righteous. And A few verses I'd like to leave with you as a challenge. They're found in 1 Peter chapter 3. I'd like to close with these verses. 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 8 to 12. Finally, all of you, be of one mind, having compassion for one of another. Love as brothers. Be tenderhearted, be courteous, not returning evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, blessing, knowing that you were called to this, that you may inherit a blessing. For he who would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Let's stand for prayer. Father in heaven, we pause before you this morning. God, we thank you for this privilege of gathering together, being together as a group of believers and worshipers. We pray that the worship this morning could be pleasing to you. And I just pray that you would open our hearts, Father, for the message that you have for us this morning. God, I pray you would grant him clarity of thought and tongue as he preaches your word. God, we pray for those who do not have this opportunity of gathering together freely as we do. God, we pray that we would not take it for granted. We could be thankful for it. God, we thank you for Jesus and his willingness to come to the earth, die on the cross, that we can have eternal life through you. Thank you also for the example that he has laid out for us, the stories and your word that we can read and we can study and we can apply it to our lives. I thank you for your kingdom, and I pray that we would be a part of it, that we'd be willing to serve you, that we could serve you with our entire lives. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.